Acts chapter 1, verse 13. Bible says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word today, help me as I speak to your people to feed from the word and be a help and a blessing to them. Help equip them for what they're going to face in life this coming week and even today. And then, Lord, if there's somebody that's not saved, we pray for their soul. We pray they'd understand your love and sacrifice for them, and they might come to Christ and be saved before it's too late, we pray. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We went through a study of the book of Matthew, and as we finished Matthew with Christ's resurrection and meeting with the disciples and giving them the great commission to go and make disciples of other nations of people, we then began the book of Acts to continue the narrative. From the time that Christ was resurrected, Acts tells us he appeared for 40 days alive upon the earth by many and various ways proving his resurrection from the dead. He appeared to hundreds of people, and then he told the disciples to go to Jerusalem and wait there for the promise of his coming. 10 days later, the Feast of Pentecost would be there, and the Holy Spirit's coming would indwell the believer in a permanent way, not just come upon men as he had in the past, but the Holy Spirit would begin to indwell the believer and live within us and empower us and comfort us and all of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. At Pentecost, this would take place in a new and different way than it ever had before. Now, during that 10-day waiting period, they replaced Judas Iscariot. They elected Matthias to take his place by prayer and vote. They cast lots or vote. And the scripture tells us there were 120 believers that were assembled together in the upper room waiting there as Jesus had told them. It reveals the 11 disciples are here in verse number 13. And then it says they were also there in supplication and prayer with the women and with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. They all continued in one accord. They were in harmony together on why they were there and their purpose as Christians. And they were making supplications, which is an urgent need of prayer, laid out before the Lord. Prayer is the word, means asking, and supplication means to ask with a need, an appeal unto the Lord. And so they're praying with an urgency here for their brethren to be saved, for the witness of Christ to go forth, for Christ to be glorified in their lives. All these things are on their mind as they're praying here in harmony and supplication together with the women and with the mother of Jesus. And where would the church be today without the women that are assembled in the church? Mothers. Today we honor our mothers. My mother's 92 years old. She's in a nursing home. She has dementia, and she has macular degeneration and glaucoma in her eyes, so she can barely see. But I took her a bouquet of roses this morning by and saw her about 7:30 this morning and kissed the top of her head and told her I was her son. I think she knew who I was this morning. She does sometimes when it's early morning, you know. But whether she knows I come or not, I know if I go or not. And so I know I have a responsibility to do that. I'm thankful for my mother. The women of the church, women who pray, women who make supplication before the Lord, the mothers who raised their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Women were the last at the cross. Many of the disciples fled when Jesus was arrested. We know that Peter and John came back, but the women stayed there at the cross and they were the last to leave. They were the first to come to the tomb and to find Christ risen as he promised. They were the first to tell the disciples of the resurrection as Christ told them to go and tell his disciples that he would meet them in Jerusalem. The women were the first convert of Europe Lydia, the seller of purple, and a church was established because of her faith. The home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, had a church in her home, and it was here that Peter came when he was released from prison. In the book of Acts chapter 12, verse 12, he went to the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark, and the people were assembled there praying for him because the king had already beheaded James, the disciple, and now he was going to take Peter, but he waited and put him in prison, and the Lord sent an angel and released him from prison. And so he went down to the church where they were praying for his release. Priscilla and Aquila were a couple who were of the same craft, which is tent makers, that the Apostle Paul was of. So when he would go into a city and he would abide in a place where they would sell their wares, he would make tents to help support the work of the ministry. And he met this couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who he said risked their lives for him. They risked their necks to preserve Paul's life. And when he sends greetings in Romans 16, he sends the appreciation and commendation of a number of ladies who helped in the ministry. In chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, he commends Phoebe unto the church. Priscilla and Aquila, because they have a church in their home now that has been established, he remembers them. Mary in verse 6, who bestowed much labor on him and the other apostles. Romans 16, verse 12, Paul salutes three women. Now you ladies that are pregnant, y'all take these names down. Tryphena and Tryphosa. Yeah, I'm sure you'd want to name your twins that. These ladies were very possibly twins, and their names mean delicate and dainty. But also with Persis, which is a name that was probably Persian rather than Jewish, these three women, he said, bestowed much labor. Much labor is much more than just serving in the church. Much more than just keeping the nursery or singing in the choir. Much labor is putting forth that energy to do whatever you can, whenever you can, for the glory of God, for the work of the ministry, to be the kind of people that a number of ladies are in this church that we can count on when we need them to do something, they're willing to step forth and help to get the work of the ministry to go forward. Paul commends all these ladies for their labor and their service unto God. You can't have a church ministry without a strong group of spiritual ladies who have a ministry to help in the work of the ministry. You can't do it without the men, and you can't do it without the ladies. We work together. There's a great need for that. It's good to have a lot of senior saints in our church who believe this church is on the right track and who support it or are a part of it, but thank God we got younger families coming along with children to keep the church alive as we pass on, and they become the leaders in the days to follow. Our nursery and our junior churches are all staffed by our ladies. Susan and Sarah are in junior church right now, and Kim is a helper there. Tracy has the other junior church, and Jimmy is her helper. Lisa coordinates our nurseries, and every Sunday morning I go by the nursery and see Carol and Sonia there tending to any of the babies and small ones that are in the nursery there on Sunday morning. Cindy Taylor, Jamie taught her class this morning, and Jamie's involved in the Wednesday night, and Cindy teaches a class. Joanne Cofty and Christy Hedrick co-teach every other week a class of primary, and my wife has taught a junior class in this church for 34 years. From day one, when we started the church, I stood behind a little homemade pulpit to bring a message, and my wife got in the back of the room with a sheet laid out and took the small children back there and quietly taught them something and kept them quiet while I preached to the few adult people that we had in the beginning of the church service. Our Wednesday night group couldn't function without the ladies that minister down there. They have about 8 ladies who are involved in the Wednesday night program, and we couldn't function without their help. The teens, the Hoyles and the Clarks, the brother Boyce and Stephanie, and now the Balts are helping out with them. The influence of those ladies upon our teen ladies is a vital thing. These girls need all the influence from spiritual people they can possibly get in these teen years as they grow to maturity to make all their own decisions. Miss Sue teaches a class for the ladies. We have a ladies' class because every church always has a lot of single ladies that or widows, or they are single. And so we have a ladies' class, and we're so thankful to have that. It was something we were missing in the early days of the church, and I'm so thankful that we have that now. Our choir, our music, Candace and Gwen and Diane and Nanette and Joyce all play our instruments for us, and there's groups that play special instruments. Some of our teen kids are involved in that, and what a blessing they are. The group Restored, the Kids Blessings Choir. I mean, all of these are involved in the work of the ministry of this church, and we couldn't function without the help that they give. I couldn't have these dinners that we have today without Faye Collins and Libby and Carol Hedrick and Darla, and we get two when we get Lynn Ross, because she makes Daryl help too. He's down there with his apron on right now doing whatever they want him to do, getting ready for folks to come and eat lunch. And my wife's been a part of this church for 42 years. She's an unpaid assistant pastor to the pastor. Unrecognized, and often because of that, no appreciation, because folks don't know what she does behind the scenes. She's cared for our children while I've gone sometimes 16-hour days away from home to be at the hospital in the early morning, and functions all day long for the church, and she's been at home caring for the children. Well, we went through Bible college. I worked a 40-hour week job and carried 18 semester hours in college, and she had to take care of everything in the home while I was involved in doing those things. And she's visited ladies. She called one this weekend to check on her. It's just had been in bereavement. The work that she's done has been amazing for 34 years. So today we recognize the contributions of mothers and of the ladies who minister for Christ through the church here at Bible Baptist Church. And we're thankful for the work that you do. A large percentage of the giving that's given to this church comes from ladies. Ladies who work, ladies who have careers, ladies who are widows who support the church in tithes and offerings. We received a check today from a retired lady for $540, and about half of that was a tithe, and the other half she gave to missions. And it comes in the mail every month. We have a lady who was a member here that moved to Raleigh, North Carolina, but she likes the mission program of this church. And so she has a business that deducts a check every month from her account and mails it here to this church that goes into the work of the missions that we do. Ladies work to invite people to church like we all do. They have a ladies' visitation on Tuesday mornings that visit the shut-ins for me. And what a blessing that is for time, to afford me more time and for those people to get more visits and for them to be able to come back and say, "Pastor, so-and-so has a need," or, "You know, we need to follow up on this person or that situation." And what a great blessing and a help that is to me. The ladies were gathered together in one accord in supplication and prayer with the disciples in the upper room for 10 days until the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Secondly, the early 120 were in one accord and prayed together. They were in harmony. They were in unity. They were in the same mind. They had the same attitude, wanting the work of the ministry to go forward. It wasn't me, my, and mine, and it wasn't my needs over everybody else's needs. It was Christ being exalted and serious prayer being offered by the 120. We have to keep a spirit of unity and prayer in the church and dependence upon God. We start depending on our talent, we are dependent on the flesh. If we start avoiding the concern of having a unity among us, then we got everybody going in different directions, doing different things, and we will not accomplish what God wants us to do. Many ladies are talented and hardworking in the church and are willing to serve the Lord in a church like this, where they are limited in what they can do in titles and offices, because we believe that the Bible teaches that the pastors and deacons are to be men. A lot of denominations, boy, somebody ought to say amen right there. There's a whole lot of denominations have gotten away from that today. And a lot of them have ladies serving as priests and deacons and pastors and all those sort of things. A lot of times because they don't have any men that are willing to do it, that the ladies have to step forward and take on those offices. I don't limit the ladies. God limits the ladies. God teaches that a man is supposed to be the pastor of the church, and men are supposed to be the deacons of the church, and ladies have an office of service in the church, but they're never to usurp authority over the men. That's not my thinking, that's God's thinking. I didn't invent that. God invented that. Don't get offended with me if you belong to a church that doesn't teach that, because you ought to get out of that church because it doesn't teach the Bible and come to one that does teach the Bible, like this church, and try to live by it. Ephesians 4:11 through 15 says God gave the talented, gifted ones, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to the church for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So there's work for all of us to do, and we're to work together in unity and harmony, not to be in competition with one another. God doesn't call the ladies to run the church, nor to run the pastor. Hello. I've had a few try to do that. Seriously, it's tough not to get in the flesh when people are trying to harm the church of Jesus Christ. This isn't my church, this is Christ's church. But I have a responsibility as a shepherd to defend the church like a shepherd defends the sheep. And it's important that people don't get single-focused in their own way of doing things so that they try to change the church to their own felt needs that they have. Listen to me. Your schedule is not more important than this church's schedule. This is God's church, and you're going to be a part of it. Don't make your schedule more important than God's schedule. Don't make your felt need more important than the needs of the body, which we are to be together in harmony and unity and work together for the cause of Christ. We start trying to make felt needs serviced, then everybody here's got something they'd like to see or they'd like to have or they'd like to do, and then you got the church pulling apart instead of pulling together for the glory of God. It's one thing to have an idea or to ask questions or to share something. It's a whole other matter to make demands that the church change its policy or doctrine or order in order to please you or to meet your felt needs or whatever they may be. God help us to humble ourselves before the Lord and see the importance of the bigger picture of helping the church to go forward for Christ. And I'll promise you that will be the best result for you and your family if we will do that. If we don't do that, we have an exodus of people leaving because their need is not being met over somebody else's need. There's a personality of one family that gets specialized treatment because of who they are or how much they give or something of that nature. And God help us not to allow those things to happen in our midst, but to stay in unity and in one accord with the right purposes in mind to glorify God. Thirdly and finally, the servants of the church, women, mothers, raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Along with the fathers, we raise up a generation of young people who serve God. They carry on. I'm getting up the mountain a little ways. I'm 61 years old, but I've been rode hard and put up wet. I don't know how long I'll live or how long I can continue at the pace that I've been at. Timothy was a laborer for Christ. He was somebody the Apostle Paul could count on. Paul could send him to a church to correct problems there, or leave him as the pastor of the church at Ephesus, one of the great and large growing churches that are in the New Testament, mentioned probably more than any other church other than the church at Jerusalem. And Paul could use Timothy for all these things. He had a sincere faith that dwelt in Timothy, he said. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 5, he said, but before that faith that was sincere dwelt in Timothy, it dwelt first in his grandmother Lois and in his mother Eunice. You see, Lois and Eunice raised Timothy to be a servant of God. They raised him to follow the Apostle Paul and make himself a servant that was available to be used of God for God's honor and for God's glory. They trained him up in the way of the Lord. They trained him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. People of faith who raise their children to be people of faith, to believe the book, to be a part of the church, to be laborers for Christ, to be in one accord in prayer and supplication. Today is Mother's Day, a day where we pause to recognize the contributions of mothers and ladies that they make within this church. What a blessing it is to have those who labor and serve and who raise their children to be faithful servants of the Lord. God knows every church needs some Timothys and some Titus, some young men coming along who can bear the burden of labor. Pastors are to be servants of the Lord, and deacons are to be servants of the church and help alleviate some of the load of the pastor so that we can carry more ministry to more people. If we're going to spread out our tent to a larger habitation, then we've got to drive down the stakes and we've got to lengthen the cords. The church has got to be strong from within if we're going to reach out to have more ministry to more people. It takes the involvement of more people. And more people are just like I am. You're busy. And you really aren't interested in adding anything else to your plate. Life demands. Family demands. And then there's the work of the ministry of the church. I know that it's hard to juggle a schedule. I know that. I understand it. I know folks have hobbies and all kind of involvements. I actually own a boat. It's a yard ornament that sits in my front yard because it hasn't been in the lake because I haven't had any time to use it. I'd love to have some time to go do that. But there have been other things that have demanded the priority of my time. And living a Christian life is a constant demand of us checking our priorities to make sure we're keeping the most important things the most important things. Christ is to be preeminent above everything else. Your family is more important than your hobbies. Did you hear what I said? Time spent with your family is more important than hobbies. You might play golf, you might go fishing, you might do woodwork, you might do yard work. If you like to do yard work, let me know if you don't have enough to do at home, you know, if you'd like to do that sort of thing. But you understand what I'm saying is that sometimes it's tough to juggle the priorities. But what living the Christian life is a constant reminding ourselves that we're keeping the main thing the main thing. And putting Christ first in your life, you'll never go wrong by serving Him and living for Him and putting Him first in your life. If you put Christ first, He makes a way for you to do the things you need to do if you're willing to work hard and do those things. Now, everybody likes a little couched potato time, a little recliner time. Men have a control thing. It's a natural thing. They like to control the remote, you know. That's why my wife has a television in the bedroom and I have one in the den. You know, she don't like to watch what I do and I don't like to watch what she does. Bless her heart, I don't watch chick flicks. You know, there's three or four channels with those things on there, you know, and I don't watch that stuff. And she don't like to watch blood and guts and all that kind of stuff, you know, and I do. So we have separate televisions and we make sure we spend a little bit of quality time together, though. We usually get together to eat, and that's usually in the den. I don't know why we have a kitchen table. All it's for is to stack stuff on, you know. But I have to check my priorities sometimes, too, because sometimes the work of the ministry can get in the way of the priorities of what I need with my family and my own personal time with God in prayer and study. Because that's one of the easiest things to let slip is your devotional time. When you get up in the morning, you're rushing to work, there are demands of the home, everything will come to mind. But it's vital that we spend some time alone with God, spend time together as a family, be faithful in church, and try to put Christ first. If we'll do that, I think He'll make time for us to do the things we need to do.